is the Steve Scafidi Show on WTMJ.
9:35 on this Thursday, 61 degrees. Not going to get real warm today, maybe a high of 70 or 72. I'll be on the golf course later, so I'm looking forward to that, Carol King.
Good. You and the president, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
go golfing.
Well, I'm not dealing with a hurricane.
No. I know. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, we'll get to the whole, I don't know if he's like making his own weather charts. And
Yeah. That was funny.
All right. So unless you were missing the news, the MU Law School poll dropped yesterday. And we usually talk to Brian Fraley, president of Edge Messaging, when that happens. Today is no different. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, sir. And Carol, how are you?
I'm good, Brian. And you?
Great to talk to you. I'm doing great.
Good.
Before we get to that, Brian, I want to ask you about the retirement news yesterday. Congressman Jim Sensenbrenner, 40 years on the job, 76 years old. That's another loss for Republicans in the states when we've seen Governor Walker losing the election, Paul Ryan retiring, Sean Duffy making the announcement. What does this all mean?
Well, I'll tell you, it's a huge void, not only here in crucial Waukesha County, but the state and in America. Congressman Sensenbrenner, whose office is literally right down the hall from mine here, I see him all the time in Brookfield. He's been a great congressman. He votes the way the district wants him to vote. He's a leader. He's been an expert, a policy expert in science and in matters of democracy and judiciary. It's going to be a huge void, no matter when this happened, whether it happened 10 years ago or 10 years from now, when Jim Sensenbrenner decided to hang it up. I mean, they will make statues to this guy. They will honor this guy forever. He means so much, not only to Republicans, but to the entire state. So that's a huge ripple effect that's going to happen here. Take it away from anything else that's going on. And I don't think it is tied to anything. I don't think it's part of a trend of people leaving. I mean, he has been in Congress since Jimmy Carter was president.
That's right.
Yeah, and he was in the legislature too before that. But
yeah, he ran for the state legislature when I was 8 months old. So and he's the perfect poster boy for why there should not be term limits, because he's elected by 75% of his constituents on a regular basis. He holds 100 town hall meetings a year. He is in touch with his district, and it's going to be very hard to replace him.
No, when you talk those town hall meetings, that's almost kind of part of his job, because he's been constantly campaigning for 40 years. You know what I mean?
He is amazing. His town hall meetings are real. I mean, you have something to say, whether you like him or not, like the president or not, like a certain policy or not. He gives you the mic. Now, there's certain rules. You have to be respectful, and he can be a curmudgeon and hold you to those. But I think that his constituents appreciate it. Even people who don't vote for him in this district respect him.
Don't you wish that as most lawmakers are kind of getting away from the town halls, we'd actually be going in Jim Sensenbrenner's direction, where you set up rules, you respect each other's opinions, and you actually can have a dialogue, which I think is a great example for future elected officials to follow.
Yeah, as long as they don't become circuses. I mean, Paul Ryan used to have these all the time, too.
Yes.
And then once he became speaker, they became circuses, and it was like media events, and it wasn't about communicating with your congressman or finding out information. It was about a stunt or making a point. Congressman Sensenbrenner really was able to rule with an iron fist on that to make sure that his constituents could have access to his staff and himself. And whoever takes his place will have to keep that kind of level of being in touch with their district. They're going to have to keep that up, because that's what the 5th district expects and deserves.
You mentioned taking his place. So now the names start to emerge. We've seen talk about Leah Vukmir and Kevin Nicholson, and I've heard Paul Farrell's name mentioned, even Ben Vocal from the Ron Johnson staff. Is there a front runner, even at this early stage, that you said, yes, this is somebody who can step in and do the same job that Jim Sensenbrenner has done for 40 years?
So I would like to say that the key to winning this district are threefold: raising enough money to win a primary, working very hard, and hiring my company, right? I need to be careful here, playing odd maker. I will say this, that the bench here is incredibly deep. There is a lot of people who are very interested in this race, and a lot of qualified men and women who are going to pursue this. I think it will sort itself out, but I fully expect a competitive at least 3 or 4 way primary here for the Republican nomination. And whoever wins this district, as long as they do the right thing, it is a solidly Republican district. They will have the opportunity to serve the people of this district for a long time, as long as they do their job right.
All right, Brian Fraley, president of Edge Messaging, joining us. We'll take a break. Brian, after that, we're going to get to the MU Law School poll. I read a lot of your tweets yesterday as this thing was being unveiled. Lots of good information. What it means for Wisconsin, what it means for the folks who are going to be voting next year for president. That's all coming up next right here on WTMJ.
This is the Steve Scafidi Show on WTMJ.
62 degrees here at Radio City on this Thursday. Thank you for listening, as always, however you find us. Over the air, online, the podcast, all good. Every day, all the time at WTMJ.com. We are joined on the phone by the president of Edge Messaging, Brian Fraley. All right, Brian, let's dig into the MU Law School poll. Last one, I believe, was April, right?
Yes.
And now we have the edition in September. What is your, I think, big takeaway from the results? And we'll kind of break down some of the numbers.
All right, so Biden's polling over 50% head-to-head with Trump, but the Dem primary is a three-way race yet. Biden hasn't won that nearly. He has not put it away. It's between him, Sanders, and Warren. But even though Trump is down by, 9 points to Biden, he always outpolls the polls. It has to do with how people respond to polls and how conservatives and especially Trump supporters don't trust the polls, so they don't participate. So he always outpolls polls. And Trump's negatives don't go up, no matter how bad his press is, no matter how bad his antics are, no matter how bad his tweets are, his negatives don't go up.
Well, I think he's still at 88% among the respondents in this survey, right?
Among Republicans, yes.
Yeah.
Even among independents and everything else, his negatives pretty much stay the same. And then my other takeaway is voters are pessimistic about the future of the economy. They think that they're doing better off than they were a year ago, but they think next year it's going to be worse. Yet people think that Wisconsin's heading in the right direction. So that could buffer both Republican and Democratic candidates, regardless of whether there's some sort of national wave going on for or against the president. And then my final takeaway is regarding Tony Evers. Voters like his low-key, low-accomplishment approach. I think they were tired of the drama and the aggressive policy agenda of Governor Walker, who I supported, and I supported his most of his policies. Mm-hmm. But I think they were just tired of the drama. I also think that's one of the things that could hurt Trump, is that if Biden or whoever the Democrat nominee is runs on not a huge change campaign, not a huge we're moving towards socialism campaign, but just says we just need a little less drama and a little less chaos out of government, that might be an appealing message to voters in the upper Midwest.
And on the Governor Evers numbers, 6-point improvement from the earlier poll in April, that's significant. That's something that people have to look at. And I agree with you on the voters do get tired of some of the animosity of politics. And I think in Wisconsin, I talk to a lot of people both on the show and off, and they are basically registering the same thing. They're tired of that. They just want to see things done. And I think this poll suggests that's the case.
Well, it seems like we had a statewide election every 5 months for a couple of years in a row.
It did.
And, even professional hacks like me get tired of it and need a breather. I mean, you can't eat the same foods every day. You can't, watch the same news every day. You can't do the same exercises every day. After a while, you just get sick of something and you just need some change. I think that's what Governor Evers provided. He doesn't have policy accomplishments in his pocket. It's just a matter of the budget got done on time and there hasn't been as much acrimony other than between him and a few leaders. But people outside the bubble of Madison don't really care about that stuff. That's why they don't know who the speaker is that well, and that's why the name ID for the majority leader might not be as much as people would expect. People aren't as attuned into politics and government as people in politics and government think they are.
One of the things that I saw that was interesting, and you also tweeted about this, is the numbers on the economy and tariffs. I mean, that stuff is concerning, has to be concerning for the president, because the numbers say 34% say tariffs help, 47% say they hurt. Not good news for the president.
Yeah, how tariffs play out will, I think, determine who wins Wisconsin. I've said this for probably 2 years now. People in rural Wisconsin who are feeling the pinch of tariffs have not left the Trump camp because they look at the alternatives. But as if the tariffs continue to really pinch, especially like the dairy industry, and start hitting small manufacturers, if the Democrats provide a free market, free trade alternative, which I can't believe I'm saying this because the Republicans used to be the party of free trade, they would have an opening. But what the Democrats seem to be doing is they're going all in on gun confiscation, on a move toward socialized health care. They are working toward their base, which could hurt them in states like Wisconsin.
You know, but there's still an awful lot of time. That's the thing. I'm one of these people, like you were just talking about, that I take these polls with a grain of salt because at any time, something, the worm could turn, and all of a sudden, boom, there's these huge, you know what I mean?
Yes, and polls are not predictive, Carol. You bring up a great point. It's not predictive of what's going to happen in a week, much less in a year. It is a snapshot of people's opinions right now. And that's one other takeaway I would give you from the poll that was very surprising to me, is that there's less than 7% undecided or neither in a head-to-head between Biden and Trump.
Right.
That is such a small sliver of the electorate that these guys are going to be focusing on. They'll be spending a ton of money and a ton of time here in Wisconsin, whether it's Biden, Warren, Sanders, whatever. They will be spending a ton of time here in Wisconsin to go over after a very small sliver of people who haven't already made up their mind.
Let me ask you about the DNC coming with these polls and these numbers. What do these candidates have to come to Wisconsin to say? I know it's a national platform, but really, what do they have to come to Wisconsin to say?
Well, here as a Republican, this is why I wanted the DNC here. Not only because it was great for the economy of Wisconsin, I thought it was great, but I also know that they're going to come here and the Democrats are going to talk to a national audience, and they may be saying stuff that doesn't sit well for the people in Wisconsin who are going to be paying really close attention to what's going on because they are here. What they need to talk about is they need to talk about kitchen table issues. They need to talk about the economy. They need to talk about jobs. They need to talk about economic stability. And they can't do it in a patronizing way. And they certainly can't scare voters when it comes to taxes and when it comes to socialized medicine, health care, comes to gun ownership. You look at the way the MU law poll asked questions about guns, I think, is the wrong way to do it. So I'm not discounting their data. But it's not just the rural community. If you look at urban women and their belief, their views on guns, it varies, right?
Mm-hmm.
They want background checks, but they certainly don't want a ban on certain types of guns because they own them.
The numbers were startling on background checks. I think it was 80%, and that is the conversation, I think.
But the devil's in the details.
Yes.
What does that mean?
That's the question everybody always asks. Brian Fraley, president of Edge Messaging. One more thing before I let you go, Brian. Big Packers-Bears game tonight. I know you're a fan of football. What's your prediction?
I'm worried. I'm very worried. I'm worried about the preseason being so meaningless.
Yes.
How that hurts teams with first-year head coaches and new offensive schemes. So I'm very worried.
All right. Brian, always great to talk to you. Breaking down the MU Law School poll, the comments about Jim Sensenbrenner, couldn't agree more. Thanks for joining us, as always.
Thanks. My pleasure.
Brian Fraley, president of Edge Messaging.